The Shared Desk, Episode 15. You know, every time I hear that theme, I dig it. I think we chose well our theme. Yes, you can talk at this point.
Thank you. You told me
I was gonna keep. Yeah, I'm doing things a little differently. I'm actually taking a page from the the good friends over at GeekRadioDaily.com. Just a different way of doing the introductions here at the Shared Desk. I am T. Morris.
You've been called the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that?
Absolutely ridiculous. I don't paint.
I can't believe you just did that. I'm Philippa Ballantyne.
I may not be an explorer or an adventurer or a treasure seeker or a gunfighter, but I am proud of what I am. I am a librarian.
I was told to find that clip. By request. So there you go. You now have your official drop-in along with something. Remember, the Shared Desk. It is home of...
Hip Rage!
Bite my sweet ass. Right.
That's your drop-in for Pip Rage.
Who made that?
I did, this morning. that's the kind of love I have for you.
True love.
Yes, home of Pip Rage, home of drop-in silliness, because you know, that's what we do here.
I'm the evil midnight bomber. What bombs at midnight?
And it's the listener appreciation show, the Shared Desk. Thanks, everybody, for all the emails, Facebook comments, voicemail. We actually got more voicemail between... shows 11 and 15 than we did in the first 10 shows.
Yay!
So we must be doing something right.
We whipped them into submission.
That we did. Welcome to eroticalacarte.com. So yeah, we're really stoked about making episode 15 our listener appreciation show. We thank everybody for all the terrific feedback that we've gotten from previous episodes. We are busy. So yeah, before we get into the voicemail stuff, what have we been doing? What has been the stuff on our agenda?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember.
How about if we swing by ImagineThatStudios.com? You are the content manager and overall poobah
business.
Of just
I'm the
cracking.
Poobah.
You're cracking the whip over there. What's going on in Imagine That Studios? I guess this is Imagine That Studios 3.0 now.
Yeah, I don't know what iteration you're up to, but I've stepped in. I think we've had 9 releases this month. I just did a little posting about that. We've had. Well, Billy's back.
Yeah, that's right. We released Bill Above Baddings. We actually have a voicemail about... No, we have a voicemail about another release I had, but that was before... we'd already talked about that.
Yeah.
Aladdin and His Infernal Device.
So, yeah.
Which have been doing really well this month.
Yeah.
Billy's back. I'm going to be getting you Pitcher's Pendant today.
You better be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will crack the whip.
And... after we do the stuff we need to do, and I need to do a little more writing, I will have the first episode of Volume 2 of Tales from the Archives ready to go. Sins of the Father, written by yours truly, and had a great time producing that.
Yeah, I could hear all the craziness. I was like, oh, T's opened his box of tricks.
And my next one is going to be P.J. Schneider's.
Yeah.
And so we're April 10th. April 10th. Mark your calendars. April 10th.
First episode will drop every 2 weeks after that?
Every 2 weeks after that. And we're going to have to...
And then the books will be available in a digital format shortly thereafter.
Right, but we desperately need to make sure we have a buffer because May is going to be full on.
Yeah, we need to have at least three episodes in the can.
Yeah. Yeah, but
that will cover May.
We're not here to really talk about that. We're here to turn it over to you all because a lot of the voicemails we got, this was like some terrific voicemail material because some of it is about the shows we've done. Some of it has just been random questions and it's
we love random questions.
We do love the random questions. And this is also the most international show because our first voicemail is coming all the way from Cornwall.
Then punch that button. Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Hi, T and Pip. I'm doing this to speak to you, giving you feedback because this is I can't spell a thing and I can't reread. This is my way of sending you an email, or a text, or voicemail.
Whatever works, baby. Thank you, man.
America,
this is Guy in Cornwall.
Anyway, I just got done listening to Phoenix Rising and Mercy of Courage. Mercy of Cruel Offence. I thought it was well good, and I can't wait to a second book.
Oh, thank you.
Lucky we got one.
I also have a couple of questions. Do you know how I was listening to it? I went through Amazon, and then went on Amazon's new audiobook thing. Uh-huh. We got someone reading it out, and it's a good book. He does it quite well. But when I was reading it, I imagine it's yours two voices.
So.
I'm just going to pause Guy there real quick.
James Langton.
Yeah, James Langton was the gentleman that did that. And yeah, James Langton did a fantastic job he tore it up. Tore it up. And we were thrilled with his interpretation, and we didn't realize how many accents we threw at that poor guy.
A bit sorry for him, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he had to do Italian, he had to do New Zealand, he had to do South African at one point, which
Australian.
Australian. He held his own. He held his own. So we were really pleased to have his involvement in there, and. We a lot of people did comment that they had wished that it had been us, but
which would you rather have, us reading or us writing?
Yeah,
it's pretty much that's the toss up.
Yeah, that's where we're at. So let's get back to the voicemail.
Out, and it's a good dog. He does it quite well, but when I was reading it, I imagine it's yours two voices. So afterwards,
hey, three for the price of one.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, what's that called? That website. Well, it's a place where you download those audiobooks.
Audible.
Oh. Each time they give you one credit.
Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Whatever audiobook you want. Anyway. Sorry. Anyway, I'm re-entoring said desk. This isn't the best way of doing a feedback because I'm rambling on now.
No. Any feedback is good feedback. We appreciate it.
I just said about... But I mean, didn't finish. Damn. Never mind. Do you know if Dice is going to be in an audiobook?
Ooh.
Like Phoenix Rise in the Mercy of Clear Fence.
Look, it's a tongue twister for us too. Yeah. Okay, don't worry about
it. Wait till you see it in German.
Congratulations again for being married. Okay. And that's my questions. And now I'm wandering off again. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you, too.
So, going back to Guy's original question, Geist in audio. Do you think it could happen?
I don't know.
We could do it here. that would be... Well, as you know, my darling, I am throwing my voice out there on audible.com right now through ACX. And it's been a fun experience. I'm still waiting to get cast in something. But wouldn't that be fun if... I got the gig to read Geist.
I haven't heard anything about it going into audio.
But that could be cool.
It could happen. Yeah. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. Yeah. I mean, it's all dependent on how well Geist and Wraith and all those other books.
Yeah. We do know that Janice Affair is going to be available on Audible.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that.
Oh, and in hardback. Don't forget
Hardback, yes. The Science Fiction Book Club. They came through as well. So hey, Guy, thank you very much for kicking off this voicemail from across the pond. Now we.
I love
back.
His accent.
I know his accent is great. I would love to be able to, but I mean, yeah, we kind of fiddle with the Cornwall accent when we're reading to the boom, because he's not Cornwall, he's Yorkshire.
Cornwall's Hagrid. At the bottom of the.
Cornwall's
country.
At the bottom. Yorkshire's at the top. I remember.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Hey, Ben from Florida, save me.
Hi, T and Pip. On the shared desk.
Hi.
I'm a big fan, and I thank you for playing my voicemail on your voicemail.
No problem at all.
It was fun hearing me, because I'm a narcissist and I like hearing me.
Aren't we all?
But I had another question.
Go for it.
Or another comment. I don't know, something like that.
Whatever. Come on.
Anyway, my brother-in-law and I, we both write. And also, thank you to Crazy Uncle Charlie for giving me writing advice.
Oh, no, you just mentioned.
Hearing him say my name in my ear, because, you know, I'm listening to it on an iPod with the earbuds in, and it was like, hey, Ben. And I was like, ah! That's weird. But anyway, my brother.
Sorry to freak you out.
Decided to write a book together.
Oh dear.
And we have.
Well, there's your problem.
Basically, we set it up like with Google Docs. We kind of share the files together that way, and we both kind of brainstorm together on plot and characters, and I did a lot of the world building. But I was wondering, like, what do you recommend? Like, should he write certain characters and I write certain characters, or we both cover different plots, or what? Because I'm just, you know, I've never done this whole writing with somebody else thing. So I'm just a little thrown as to what to do. Because so far, he'll write something and I'll edit it. And then I keep doing more and more world building because that's kind of what I do. But hearing your thoughts would be great. I know you kind of covered it in the shared universe episode, but it would be nice to hear it again. So thanks again, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thanks, Ben. Actually, the funny thing about Ben's question is that also came in two emails, or actually an email and a Google Plus comment.
Okay.
First, let's jump over to the email. This is from Valkyrie Page. Most gracious host, how do you collaborate on stories about creating errors in continuity and inconsistencies in voice? What methods do you use to prevent and or resolve these issues? Do you find these are other problems you face when collaborating? And if so, how do you handle them? And also, we got a real quick comment on our Google, or actually my Google Plus. It was from Chris Forshner. Yes, Chris Forshner. She just wanted to be, she was curious on the procedure when we work on a story together.
Uh-huh.
So
it's, I think it starts with brainstorming.
Yeah. Yeah.
We spend a lot of time shooting the breeze about
where we want to go.
What's it going?
Yeah.
It's a kind of a nebulous thing, the brainstorming. I think it's fun to rub brains together.
Yeah,
it sounds rude.
And nothing new for this podcast. But, you know, the whole thing is we rub the brains and we rub till it gets rude and then we sort of, you know, we pull it back. I know that when you and I brainstorm, we're kicking out a lot of ideas. You tend to be a better typist than I do, so you're jotting them down, I hope. And then
of course,
and then we start the actual writing process.
We say we sort of divvy up the chapters. So
right.
which chapters are going to be Wellington's, which chapters are going to be Eliza's, and then we fight over the interludes.
Right, exactly, because we tend to find that the interludes are way fun because of
they usually involve villains.
Yeah, they usually involve the villains. Or they usually involve some of the secondary characters that are good fun to write.
Yeah.
Now the thing about writing as characters. The only time that gets a little weird is if you are trying to stick with like one point of view throughout the book, and I don't think it's out of the ordinary for some people to do world building and another person to actually do the writing.
Yeah, but the characters is the easiest way to divvy it up, really.
Yeah, and then you know you take one and then you take another and then that becomes your separate chapter. Now,
well, that is easier because if you have any inconsistencies in like tone or voice, then the reader passes it off as that's different between, you know, Bob and Joe
and
Eliza and Wellington.
And that brings us to Valkyrie's thing, Valkyrie's email about errors in continuity and inconsistencies in voice. Now, I have not read the book myself. It's on my to read my ever growing TBR list. Is it Good Omens? Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was told that you can tell when Gaiman is writing the chapter and when Pratchett is mm-hmm. writing the chapter. You know, it's two different senses of humor, two different writing styles. But with us, I think our writing styles meshed when we wrote.
And yeah, very similar senses of humor.
Yeah. But it's not just a sense of humor; it's also in the writing style. You tend to be more. I've said this before on the podcast. You tend to be better at the narrative.
Mm.
You tend to be a lot better at the narrative and say, okay, here we have to do a little bit of background, and then here we can stick to showing, you know. And then I'm the one that tends to be with the dialogue. I tend to be vish with the dialogue, and that's the actor coming out. Together, I think we came up with a hybrid, and I think the highest compliment we get from people is, well, you know, I can't tell where Pip's voice ends.
They're not the only
begins.
People, though, because sometimes, especially in the, I mean, we have written, you and I have written different, you've written a Eliza scene and I've written a Wellington scene, I think.
Yeah, we have.
But also the when you do the, when we're doing the interludes and we're editing, I come back and I'm like, which of us wrote this?
Yeah, I know. It's like, did you write this? I don't know.
If I say this is brilliant, will I just be really like, superficial and complimenting myself.
But Bazinga.
But I also think it's a lot in the editing as well, because whoever writes the chapter, then the other person goes back and edits it, and they add their own bits into there, or they correct thing, they change it.
Yeah.
So it's like getting two different colors of Play-Doh and blending them together. And the more you pound them...
You are just turning everything into a double entendre, aren't you?
Well, I'm trying to say, the more you mix them together, it sort of makes a different color that neither of us could produce.
But I would add to that that the part of what makes that happen is how aggressive we edit one another's work.
Yeah.
You know, unleashing your inner editor, and when you're working with a partner, that's got to be the one thing you have to have is good communication.
Yeah.
I know during the Janice affair, we had some. It was odd. I felt like we had more communication issues during the Janice affair than we did during Phoenix Rising.
But it was easier to do the actual writing, I think.
Yeah, it was just. But I just found it odd. We were in the same hemisphere, same place, same house, and we were having a tougher time communicating about certain things than we did when we were doing Phoenix Rising. But I think the more you edit your work, and the more you edit your partner's, or the more you let your partner edit your work, and the more you edit your partner's work. I think that is a great way of not only understanding the tone and the style and keeping your work consistent,
mm-hmm.
but also keeping track of what you're establishing in different points.
And to work together, you have to have a certain ability to have arguments as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can't, because that's probably how a lot of writing partnerships break up, is that just, you know, you got to know when to let it go and when.
Exactly. Pick and choose your battles.
Yeah, pick and choose your battles.
Now, this next voicemail, dear friend of ours, and we have brought her kicking and screaming, not only to the wonderful world of podcasting, but she will be at Balticon. Woo-hoo! Find out more at balticon.org. Here you go.
Hi, T. Hi, Pip. It's Melissa from My World in Words and Pages. I don't normally call, but I had to call today. I'm a little behind in listening to the shared desk as my router seems to be going kaput on me.
No.
But I got through the whole episode, and I just had to call and say thank you guys for the shout-out.
She's done my show 11 on the views.
Shared desk. I'm excited to hear that Janice Affair is on its way, and there's going to be more explosives with Elijah.
Boom.
That is
more things
one
go
of the
boom.
Things I've enjoyed about that character. And I have to say that there's a lot going on with the bloggers and the authors and everybody. And I know there's many of us that try not to get too involved, and there are some that do. But it's just, I think, crazy sometimes from both sides, unfortunately. But as Pip mentioned, I will be at Balticon.
Again,
I've been able to work it out. I wrestled my brother into going with me.
Always have a wingman.
Into the fantasy and comic books, and he's just starting to learn about steampunk, so I was able to explain that to him and told him you guys were going to be there. So hopefully I'll give him the rundown on the way down. So
corsets.
Fantastic. Lots
of
corsets.
See you guys there at Balticon. Take care. And I will say thank you so much for the kind words. Just me sitting here listening to it by myself, you actually made me blush. I really appreciate it. And take care. We'll see you guys.
See you soon. Yay!
Wait until we get you in person. we're gonna have a photo op. We're definitely going to have a photo op with Mel. We got to have a photo op with Mel. Yeah, she was talking about the episode we did, episode 11, on book reviews and on reviewers, and how you really, when you bite the hand that feeds you, you got to be a little careful about that.
Yeah, don't be surprised if you get a slap on the face.
Yeah, exactly. I got another voicemail here. This is from Terry.
Hey guys, it's Terry Amon here with the TV is the View Reading.com. Well, actually, it's that's not the That is the address. Hi, this is Terry Ahman at TV is the New Reading, and I was a little bit snubbed because when you mentioned you hadn't put a promo together, I had to put one together for you, and I posted it on your feed.
Now I'm confused.
I've read it a couple of times. I hope you enjoyed it.
Did we get it?
Really enjoying the shared desk. Nope. I think you guys are doing a great job, and hope to hear a lot more. Take care.
Well, that snub was totally unintentional.
That
then.
Was a completely unintentional snub there, Terry. This was it was not in any way meant to be
offensive
or
it's
like
more like a Scooby Home.
Yeah, we've had a rather busy spell since my layoff, and it has been it is a distinct possibility that your generous gift of a promo is probably somewhere in the ether, because I never got it.
So please resend.
Yeah, please resend it, and you can go on ahead and resend that.
Because anything that saves us from having to do something.
Amen. I mean, we've kicked around ideas for promos, but it's been like, how do we do this? So we might have to just one day sit down, fire up the mics, and say, okay, here's our promo. What's our promo? Well, and we'll just ramble like we do on the show.
Yeah, but it's hard to confine that to just a couple of minutes.
It's a couple, yeah, or in the case of a promo, 1 minute. But but yeah, the promo. No, we didn't. We never got it. So and not only do we have the open call for drop-ins, if you want to record a promo for us.
Don't hesitate.
We're open to your ideas. So, thanks a lot. Sorry we missed that promo.
But you
can either send it to t@tmorris.com or pip@pjballantine.com. That's probably the best place to send it. Now, we're going to jump back into our voicemails. We've got two voicemails, and I just got some mail on show 14, which was all about Scrivener.
Hey, T, this is Nobilis Reed, calling about the most recent Shared Desk episode.
And me too!
I liked all the stuff about Scrivener, but one thing you didn't cover was how you guys collaborate using it. Do you have, like...
Back to collaboration.
...one desk where you sit down with it, or do you have somehow some way to share files between you so that you can both work on the same project at the same time?
Mm.
That would be very interesting to me. Hope you can address that.
And
short answer, we use Dropbox.
And the nice thing about keeping our Scrivener up on Dropbox is that if we happen to leave Scrivener running, Scrivener will either say, well, this is a conflicted copy, which means it's having mommy daddy issues, Scrivener has a built-in safety net. That basically says you can't open this because another version of this is currently open.
Because we had that problem with Word, which doesn't have that.
Yeah, and we started getting our
that was
our versions
oh that was scary.
Up.
That yeah. was in the first. That was in Phoenix Rising.
Oh, that was in Phoenix Rising. It was in the edits.
It was in the editing.
It was in the edits of the. Oh. Actually, I think it was in the edits of the Janus Affair.
There might have been screaming.
Yeah, there might have been screaming. There might have been some snapping and some Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton moments. But we got past it. Scrivener, yeah, I've also got something to talk about concerning Scrivener, but I'm going to save this email for this voicemail from dear friend of the show, recent guest or previous guest.
Hey kids, PC Herring here, just finished listening to your Scrivener episode, and I'm calling shenanigans, T. I'm using Scrivener on my MacBook Pro, you've seen me use it on my MacBook Pro, and I can compile into both EPUB and into Kindle Mobi format. It's just another option on the drop-down menu. It's in like another little section.
I was
below
right! I didn't know what I was talking about, but I was right!
On the podcast. So I don't know. There may be the setting that you need to use to enable it. I know for the Kindle format, you have to download a plugin off of Amazon's website, but it's free and easy to do. But the new Scrivener, the updated Scrivener, can most certainly compile into the two electronic formats. By the way, love the drop-ins. Keep them coming.
Oh, for
more
hell!
Drop-ins,
what?
More better. And, yeah, I'm enjoying the ride. Have fun.
Bye.
Mm. Yeah, nice segue, PC, because I got this to say.
You call shenanigans on me, motherfucker?
Thank you, Phil Rossi. Actually, yes, we discovered, and had you been paying attention to the blog
at
sharedesk.com, you would have found out that we had not one but two corrections. And I actually believe that the other one was sent in by Nobilis. We found out afterwards because we were like, yeah, that does seem a little weird that you can't export. And then we found out that it wasn't the export, it was the compile function.
Yeah.
And so we showed people where that was on the blog. We then also found out, I believe it was courtesy of Nobilis.
We don't make any claims to being experts.
No,
at anything.
No, we don't. But we did find out from Nobilis that, in fact, there is a Linux version of Scrivener. I believe it's still in beta.
Yeah.
But there is a Linux version. But not only did we get schooled by Nobilis and a couple other folks who had told us about the compile feature, we also got a really nice email from David over at Literature and Latte. Here he goes. Hello, T and Pip. Well, what can I say but thank you. Listening to you and Pip right now, absolutely honored. That's spelled with a U, by the way.
Yeah, the right way.
That you've created a podcast discussing Scrivener. One correction that had me smiling is that Scrivener was completely Keith's idea and not mine. So there you go.
Sorry, Keith.
So now we will provide some of these links in our show notes, but he's the one who says there's current differences between our Mac and Windows version, and he has a link, but we're naturally working towards parity. Scrivener does compile in both EPUB and MOBI, so you can generate ebooks directly from Scrivener. Track changes. Now this is because this is one thing we wanted
to
see.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about.
Track changes is a fantastic feature that both Word and Pages provide, but it is an absolute monster to code, and we unfortunately can't stretch to the development teams that Microsoft and Apple can muster.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what? If that's the worst thing about it,
yeah,
we'll live. And then here are a couple of videos, and they give some YouTube videos that relate to features that may help concerning track changes. Anyway, absolutely loving the show. Going to tweet it, which he did, and add it to our Facebook page as soon as I've sent this. If you and your wife would like to pen, as if you haven't done enough already, a little something for our testimonials webpage, we'd love to have you on there. I will then link it to your shows and your novels. Thanks again. All the best. That's David Johnson of the Scrivener crew.
Oh, we feel important.
Well, that was our second like fan mail from somebody really high up muckety muck, because we gotta stop.
I mean, we always talk and think that no one's listening.
Yeah, because hey, how did you think I felt when I found out that someone from Toys for Bob was reading my Skylanders post?
It's a scary world.
It's a scary world. That's what happens when you put it all out there, right?
You go, watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth. I'm just talking about Scrivener. So since we're talking about Facebook comments and email and stuff like that,
is that the end of the voicemail?
Oh no, we got plenty of voicemails left.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But I wanted to bring this one out since we're talking back on shows again. I wanted to talk about our episode. I believe it was our special. It was at episode 13. Lucky episode 13. It was all about Amazon. We were talking about Amazon and things like that. And we cited Gail Carriger. We cited Shannon
McGuire.
And then we got an email, and I'm going to keep this New York Times bestseller anonymous.
We can do that.
We can do that. This particular New York Times bestseller that we're friends with gave us a little bit of inside dirt that we're going to make sure we're not going to perpetuate or put this New York Times bestseller
on the
QT. We're just going to keep it on the QT. But here was what this New York Times bestseller told us. Just some quick thoughts on your most recent podcast. I was Shannon level angry. I just held back and didn't blog about their, because they also had this happen.
Yeah.
Similar to Gail and Shannon, this New York Times bestseller also had their titles released earlier.
Yeah, I think it's common.
Yeah.
Actually, becoming common.
But they didn't blog about it because they've been burned hard by talking about such things last year. And frankly, I'm frightened of Amazon. They like to bully authors too much. There are other authors with fewer sales.
Are they listening
sales
now? Hold on. Are
yeah,
they listening?
I know.
We love you, Amazon.
Well, hey.
Sorry.
Look, I'm auditioning for ACX.
Oh, we love that.
We do. We love you, Amazon.
Now, go take a potty break, Amazon.
Right, exactly. Now, there are other authors with fewer sales than these New York Times bestsellers who aren't saying anything at all. They are just too frightened. This author was also angry because I know my numbers and I know how high up previous title went last year, and previous title had better sales and better chances. 11 days early for shipping meant Amazon took them out of the top 10 for the New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And top 10 will probably not be within this author's grasp again.
Yeah, that would be as we say in the business, a bit of a pisser.
I know. And it just, I mean, this is the power and the pull we have given.
Since we posted that show, I was reading some bloggers about, somebody was actually saying, stop complaining about Amazon. They are giving authors so many options that, you know, stop busting their balls, pretty much. Mm. And I mean, I think we didn't say that Amazon is this huge. Well, we had a picture of a giant monkey holding somebody.
We had a picture of King Kong.
I mean, yeah, on one hand, Amazon has offered authors, and we're taking advantage of some of them.
Yes, we are. We'll talk about that later. Studios. Yeah.
It has offered authors a whole lot of different stuff that they never have. We've got to say that.
They've made ebooks marketable.
But that doesn't mean that we should give them.
The keys to the kingdom.
We just don't, you know, like fall on our backs, so to speak, right. and lift the skirt.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a huge grip on the.
I just had the girl with the dragon tattoo just flash in my head. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted you to know the Fincher version.
But I mean, point being made, Mr. Morris. Don't make me bring out Pip Rage.
Oh no not.
Pip Rage.
Bite my sweet ass. Right. That is the sweetest thing anyone's ever done for me. But anyway, I think we should keep it. I mean, why should we control yourself, Morris?
Okay. You have a drink.
But we should keep an eye on Amazon. Just because they've done all these wonderful things doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep a dose of reality and an eye on them. I don't think that's freaking out. And I agree with our contributor that they've done some things that have also hurt authors.
Yeah. I mean, the best way to sum up Amazon?
The guy's one lab accident away from being a supervillain.
I mean, really? I mean, they have.
They have the powers.
They have their powers.
They
whether
got
they use
the power.
It, yeah.
Sorry.
And I mean,
did I mention I haven't had any breakfast?
But the truth is that we have given them a lot of leeway, as consumers and as publishers. But they did. I mean, yes, they did the impossible. They actually made ebooks a commodity, a realistic commodity. I don't want to say they single-handedly did it, but they did open the door for Nook, and they did open the doors for Kobo and all these other.
There is one thing that's happened, and it happened yesterday, just to be particularly relevant. Amazon is selling the Harry Potter books, right?
Yeah.
But they're not selling them on their site. They've handed it over to Pottermore.
So basically, Amazon, because there is somebody bigger than Amazon.
Yes, it's called J.K.
Rowling Rage. I mean, let's face it, Voldemort is, she was the only woman apart from Harry Potter, she was the only person apart from Harry Potter that could kill Voldemort.
Yes.
J.K. Rowling. That's how powerful she is. And yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but if Amazon wanted to do like an exclusive deal with JK, it wouldn't be, here are our terms, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You don't say that to JK effing Rowling. No, of course you don't. And you also don't say it to the person that dropped from being a billionaire to a millionaire because of all of her philanthropic work.
I love that woman.
How do you like that word?
Philanthropic.
But anyway. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we love that woman. And Amazon was smart enough to go,
yeah, okay.
Okay, you do your thing. We'll put them
but
up.
But it's
here.
An interesting precedent. But again, she is so, I mean, she's
J.K. freaking Rowling.
She's astronomically above all the New York Times bestsellers.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Stephen King?
Stephen King, maybe. People in our genre, like, you know, Tracy Hickman, Michael A. Stackpole, Gail Carriger,
they couldn't go to Amazon and say we're gonna funnel.
They don't sales have to the same. No. They don't have the same moxie as JK.
So it's not like she's kicked open the doors and there's
no. But again, we're going back to the pull that Amazon has. Am I afraid of Amazon? Not right now. But down the road,
I think we just say we're keeping an eye on it.
We're just, you know, I mean, I do think it's kind of, I do think it kind of sucks that they are starting to tinker and affect opening sales and things like that. I mean, I know Scott Sigler, he's got Nocturnal coming out soon.
Yeah, is that next week?
That's next week, and I'm wondering whether or not I've noticed that he hasn't really said it's coming. He's saying it's coming out next week because he has no clue what Amazon's going to do. And that's a scary place to be, because Amazon could play ball and say, well, we're going to wait until the actual release date. Or they're going to say, nah, we're going to release it early.
Yeah, and all then, the pre-releases get triggered as soon as they do that.
Right, right. The New York Times bestseller that must not be named, they also go into some other things that the New York Times can do that you didn't talk about. One, catch the attention of overseas publishing houses, which lead to foreign sales. We'll comment on that in a second. Catch the attention of Hollywood, which leads to film rights.
Yeah.
Affect the negotiating power and bonus clauses of future book contracts. Airport shelving. Now, I'm calling shenanigans. Yes, I will call shenanigans. Yes, Phil, I know.
You call shenanigans on me, motherfucker?
I'm calling shenanigans on the first and last one, because we got... Before the book even hit the shelves.
Yeah, we were in airports.
Yeah, well, not just in airports, but we also we got into foreign sales. I mean,
that's true.
We sold
yes.
to Germany. We sold to Russia. We sold to the only of the three branches of HarperCollins. The only one we didn't sell to is UK.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Got our eye on you, UK.
Not yet.
But I think. I mean, obviously, being on the New York Times gives you leverage.
Oh, it does get... It does,
I think we got
that.
Our foreign sales because steampunk was hot, and obviously, I'm awesome.
Well. Wow.
Don't count your weasels before they pop, dink.
I'm starting to really like that drop in.
I haven't had breakfast.
Yeah. I blame breakfast.
Yeah, I blame the lack of breakfast.
But airport shelving, I think what this New York Times seller meant was airport shelving. Is like primo, like, you know, like you're in George R. R. Martin's spot. Well, you know, an HBO miniseries kind of helps with that too.
But I mean, we got in there, so I don't know.
Yeah, we got in there, and it was great being in there, and we were even out facing in some of the shelves. Yeah. So there's that. Now, catch the attention of Hollywood. That's true to an extent.
But you have to have Garbanzo numbers.
You got to have Hunger Games. You got to have Hunger Games numbers, or Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
I mean, getting optioned is one thing; getting made is another.
There you go. I agree.
So they have option. I mean, they have optioned other things, but...
But number three, absolutely.
What was number three again?
Negotiating power and bonus clauses.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, once you become a New York Times bestseller, you can say, give me, give me.
But one thing about being a New York Times bookseller is that they have to print a minimum amount of books. And I know for a fact, based on the numbers that we have with HarperCollins, those number we're not going to be they're not shooting for New York Times for us. It'd be great,
which is
there'd have to be a serious run on the Janus Fair, which is coming out at the end of May. Just
so feel free to buy one, buy 10 for your friends.
Yeah, come on, they're cheap. They're only $8. You know, that's two coffees at Starbucks. You can brew your own coffee for 2 days,
and then you got a book.
Come on, bros. Come on, bros and hoes. Come on, come together. finally, a thought on the Amazon Seattle move. Borders dropped out. This is also from the New York Times bestseller. Borders dropout left a gaping hole in the Microsoft geek-friendly reading zone of Seattle.
Mm.
Powell's isn't there. Someone should be. This book tour, they could have a guaranteed at a local bookstore buying fans to turn up for a signing, but there was no one to host this New York Times bestseller in Seattle.
Well, they got their coffee in one hand. They got to have something else in the other.
Yeah. So a book might be a good idea. And I mean, but that, you see,
a bookstore.
Now, again, yes, Borders has left a gaping hole. We talked about that in the show. But the question is,
what are they going to fill it with?
And again, you know,
is it going to be Walmart or is it going to be Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. That's the real trick, isn't it? Hey, Benedict, you got yourself into a sun trap? You good? Okay.
He's definitely not going to break our shelf.
No, I don't think he is.
The skinny kitty is not going to break the shelf.
So let's jump back to voicemail. Then we have speaking of Gail Carrier, we have a comment from Gail.
Yeah,
Carrier.
We do.
So, but let's get back to Rich. You know what this show needs? More Viking.
Hey, it's Ian Pip. Just wanted to drop you a line for your listener appreciation show.
We appreciate
it. Just wanted to say thank you for all the fine work that you guys do, and I apologize for the background noise. screaming out here on the streets of Chicago, talking to guys. That's Rich. Asplund, the mad Viking himself, everyone's favorite Viking other than Odin. Again, just wanted to say thank you guys for everything that you guys do. Thanks. Bye.
We appreciate that, Rich.
We love Vikings.
We do love Vikings. We do love Vikings in Chicago. didn't love Chicago enough to relocate for this one job offer, but, you know, hey.
Nice to visit.
Nice to visit. Nice place to visit. We'll be back there again. We'll be back there again.
What else you got?
Got Dan the Art Man.
Hi, T and Pip. This is Dan the Art Man over at dandantheartman.com. And I just wanted to call in to let you guys know you're doing a great job, and it's really entertaining, the whole Uncle Charlie bit.
Oh, what goodness sake.
I know it needs no encouragement, Pip, but it is pretty funny, T. Anyways, it's fun to hear the banter between you guys. Couple cast is just an awesome idea.
No, it's not
and,
a couple cast!
You guys have a lot of awesome experience to
okay, maybe it is.
Give us advice from, and it's just fun to see what's going on with your guys' career and hear about how you manage workloads and life and raising a kid, all that good stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Know how anybody do any of that.
Anyways, thank you guys for doing this podcast, and I look forward to future episodes.
So Take do care. We. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's been, you know, we love what we do. Wait a minute. Hold on 1 minute here.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Crazy Uncle Charlie. I was in the other room. I was getting some alone time with some of my my beauties, and it just means a lot to me that all the people listening here, they enjoy the knowledge and the wisdom that I bring to this It's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I think
you better go.
I'm going to cry. Just go
collect yourself, Uncle Terry.
Before I go to collect myself, I just got to say a thing. You are a beautiful woman. I could see myself loving you violently. Would you like to be part of my harem?
No, not right now.
Okay, well, I'll just keep asking because one day you will see the F-16 awesome that is Uncle Charlie. Duh, winning.
Once again, the studio smells like cheese. I don't
get
that. But anyway, okay. So
we'll get the hazmat team in later on.
more Uncle Charlie love probably coming down in future episodes. But hey, let's hear from an old friend of the show, old friend from the cons, Michael Spence.
Good evening, T and Pip. This is Michael Spence. May I say that it is a delight to dial in to 703-791-1701.
That's the number.
Bloody A, B, C, or D. Wanted to let you know
nice
that I have finally been able to listen to some more podcasts.
Yay!
And in this case, it was the shared desk. And just as Pip used to live in the future, I live in the past. Why do I say that? Because the podcasts I heard were shows number 3 and 4.
Oh, dear.
You're going back a ways.
I give you some feedback on it. And
I can't even remember what we did
say,
then.
Well, first, who needs fancy schmancy production when you've got two such good voices?
Aww.
All-American lad and the silver filigreed princess. How could you lose? It's going quite well, and it sounds
wonderful. Don't encourage her.
The other, I noticed that it was interesting to hear PC Herring's segment. It reminded me that Shared Universe does have another rule, which I would really recommend that everybody be familiar with, and that is to recall that usually these projects are by invitation only. You won't, for example, hear my crypt piece because I wrote it on spec. Sorry about that. Oh, well. But Shared Universe can be fun. It can be a little harrowing, but you can have such fun doing your own thing while making sure it's congruent with the other people's thing. Anyway, we will I will say farewell and look forward to catching up on this. I'm eager to hear if you ever got Nathan Lowell on, and I'd like to hear your episode about Scrivener, which I've been experimenting with.
Well, it's waiting for you.
There you go.
Thanks much.
That's what we got to have. We've got to have Nathan on here sometime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll have a chance maybe to have Nathan on the show either at Balticon or and not necessarily. We are going to do a live shared desk from Balticon, but we'll also probably get a chance to, you know, maybe just have a.
Is Crazy Uncle Charlie coming to Balticon?
He could.
I think he probably is.
He could. And which means we got to come up with a costume for him.
A fedora,
some sunglasses,
and a little Cuban hat, and some sunglasses.
Oh, there we go, the Cuban hat. Because he does wear the Cuban hat. Seen him wear the Cuban hat. Concerning invitation only, that's true. Yeah, that's another rule is that usually when you do, I think the dividing line between fanfic, which actually is not a four-letter word now in writing, when you think about how 50 Shades of Grey, which is the huge garbanzo,
started off as Twilight fanfic. Yeah.
I mean, I know, for example, I have a fanfic idea. I've told you about this fanfic idea. I wanted to rewrite the ending of Harry Potter and just make it completely over the top with Hufflepuff because I have my own conspiracy theories about Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Granted, it is.
You ain't got time for fanfic.
I don't have time for the fanfic, but that's true. It is invitation only.
Well, we just finished judging the competition for the Ministry Tales.
Yeah.
We had some really amazing stories.
Dr. Blackwell showed up in it.
It was interesting how people were picking up things not just from the novels, but from the previous season.
In two of the short stories, Simon Boswell, which was the character that O.M. Gray
created,
he showed up. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she got the biggest kick out of that. So that one's for you, Olivia. I mean, it was really funny how people gravitated to that. Now, the two that won, they brought some A-game.
Yeah, because we were only supposed to have one, though.
Yeah, but we were just like, we can't.
We need both
one.
Of these.
Yeah. And in one of them, Eliza showed up. And then in the other one was just all original characters. A little bit of tweaking for continuity's sake. But for the most part, yeah, it was just... But again... The difference is if those stories, if people want to, because actually we had some, in one of our Google alerts, we had somebody that was doing just for fun, a LARP. And this was it kind of goes back to the whole shared universe thing. You know, we had to step in and go, look, if you guys want to do this LARP, that's great, just as long as you're not making money off of it.
Yeah.
And they were very gracious people. We have to do a follow up with them because I think they wanted our terms of service before they actually did it. But a LARP.
And that would be awesome.
That would be nice to see. That would be nice to see. Okay, we got one more voicemail, then I want to go to
Gail's comment.
I want to go to Gail's comment. So here we go. From the Backseat Producers, good friends of our show.
Hey, T and Pip, this is Tony Mast.
Tony!
You guys are doing a great job on the shared desk. Just wanted to say that and say thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I got a question. T, you just released... Aladdin and His Wonderfully Infernal Device, which I didn't know Pip was starting back up Erotic a la Carte.
I never stopped doing Erotic a la Carte.
It's a whole different Infernal Device title. Altogether.
Anyway, you said you posted the links and everything, and it's being released as a Kindle exclusive. Well, you know what? I don't have a Kindle. Don't plan on getting one. Don't really have any interest because I've got a Nook Color, which is serving me very well. In fact,
pretty.
I read the first Ministry book on my Nook Color. And I just wanted to know, why are you telling me you don't want my money that way?
We do want your money!
Anybody who is going to limit their market is pretty much telling me that you don't want my money, at least not yet. So I'm going to hold off for now. But I would love to read it. But I'm going to hold off until it's on the Nook. I'm just curious as to the reason behind
the business choice
limiting just one market in that way. Thanks, and keep up the great work. See you guys.
I'm going to answer this.
Yes.
You guys come into the back seat again. We miss
you.
Yeah,
you always want us in the back seat. You spank us, now you want us in the back seat.
Yeah, because it's always better in the back seat.
Well, I mean, I can say that, I mean, we've talked about this, that the Kindle...
Ladies and gentlemen, business manager, Philippa Valentine.
I will step up to the mic. shut it, Morris. Now, the simple fact is that Kindle makes it easy to give away stuff.
Yeah.
And Kindle also is the largest market. Now, if I want... I mean, we have stuff that we've managed to get free on the Kindle.
Very special way.
But that's just one title.
Yeah.
If we want to mix it up and introduce new people to the writers that we have at Imagine That, then we have to give them free samples of different stuff, which is really hard to do. It takes a month in secret backdoor ways to get anything free on Amazon. Whereas whether you sign up for the KDP, then you can get your...
You throw a switch and you're done.
And you're done. And you can set up... for example, I take the... You get 5 free days out of a month where you can offer your book for free. I like to put one offer on each title every month in that 3 day, in that 3 months period. And we've only just started this experiment 2012.
Yeah.
But I'm noticing an upkick.
We started experiment 2012 really in February.
In February.
But we're
coming to the end of the second month.
And we're starting to see some of the real results. I mean, experiment 2012, just as a quick background for anyone who's going, what's experiment 2012? Experiment 2012 is tied into Imagine That Studios 3.0. We came up with this brainstorm in January. Shortly after I got laid off. And then we started putting stuff together in February, and in March, we're starting to watch the numbers very carefully. And, so far it's been working, but I think it's something else that Tony, and let's get something else straight too, Tony. I have a Nook Simple Reader.
Yeah.
So the only way I can read my stuff is on Word. All right. So, I mean, it's the same issue with me. But here's the real brass tacks about why we were limiting ourselves only for a short while.
Yeah, it's only for 3 months.
Only for 3 months.
Aladdin will be, I think it's May.
Which is kind of nice. And that actually could be fun because, you know, we can actually say, hey, it's available now for Nook and all these other readers in the same month that the Janus Affair
comes
out. So, you know, just do one big purchase, you know?
I mean, Nook is perhaps... one or two books out of every 10 we sell.
That's the thing. See, for every one Nook we sell, we sell 10 Kindles.
You know,
and for every one Nook, and for every 10 Nooks we sell, we sell one Smashwords alternative.
You know, ideally, what I would like to see and what I'd like to do is for Barnes & Noble to have a similar situation, set up a similar offer on their site, and then some books we could make available on the Kindle for 3 months. Some books we can make available on Barnes and Noble for 3 months.
It's nothing against Barnes and Noble. I just think Barnes and Noble hasn't been as aggressive.
No, and they should be.
Especially if they want to bring it to. And personally, as much as people like their Kindles and like their Kindle colors, we've looked at the Kindles up close. We've looked at the Nooks up close, and maybe I'm just partial to Barnes & Noble because they've been so good to me in the past, but I really like Nook. They got a nice product, and my thought are, you know, hey, look, if you got a Nook color or Nook tablet, download the Kindle app and boom, problem solved. But I understand where you're coming from, Tony, and if you would be patient and wait just a few more months, we'll set you up, my brother. We'll set you up.
I mean, this is, and I'm going to put down the caveat that this is all an experiment, hence experiment 2012.
That's why it's
we are trying to work out as authors what works, what brings us the best income.
So I will turn it to my business manager, Little Red Flying Hood, which is going to be which is the working title of my next steampunk fairy tale. Is that going to be part of KDP or no?
I don't know. At the moment, I would say yes. I would say yes, but...
Direct all your comments to Pip at pjfalcon.com.
Now, hey, you can wait. Look how long they've waited for a Billy book.
Look how long they waited for Harry Potter.
You can wait 3 months.
You can wait 3 months. So we've got we're taking a break again from the voicemails. Again, thank you everybody for sending in so many voicemails. We got more voicemail in the previous 5 shows than we did in the past 10. So thank you very much for all your voicemails, emails, and comments. We got a great comment.
Before we go on, because we were talking about the KDP, we actually got a comment by Tim Ward about Robin Sullivan apparently said diversify rather than stick with KDP. And we are. I think we are. I'm not going to keep everything on the Kindle alone, but I think an introductory period doesn't really hurt.
Not at all. Not at all.
So, yeah. Diversify, yes, but you can mix it up.
Yeah, And that's what we're intending to do.
We will tell you.
It's why it's called an experiment. We are trying to figure out.
We are trying to find our way as well.
We're trying to track that magic bullet. So we got a comment from Gail Carriger, as I mentioned earlier. We got a comment on Facebook for the shared desk. So yeah, you can also send us comments either at the Facebook group for Philippa Ballantyne's writing, and that's basically called
just look Philippa Ballantyne, you'll find it.
Philippa Ballantyne, yeah. And then of course you've got the Captain's Quarters, the official group page for T. Morris. And Pip, have you got the comment up?
I have. The delightful Gail Carriger says, "You know what I really want to see from the shared desk? What does this mythical shared desk actually look like? I'm picturing this big old vintage thing with a piece of electrical tape down the middle, like a fault line. One side messy, the other clean. I should never impinge by suggesting whose side is who."
I see.
I don't have a side anymore.
Well, yeah. The funny thing was, we actually saw...
My side is full of coffee cups,
paper clips.
I did not put these things on my side.
Well, it's it's cleaner. We actually took a picture of our shared desk and we are posting it with our show notes so you can actually see we actually did see a we were in Stanton and we saw a beautiful shared desk, an actual shared desk, and you know, a little bit of sanding,
it wouldn't fit in this office.
That's the problem. Getting an actual shared desk, which I would love to have.
Yeah.
But getting a shared desk down here, that would be a challenge. That would be a challenge. But but thank you, Gail. Thank you for the lovely comment. And once again, across international lines, let's go to Canada, or as we like to say, United States Light.
T and Pip, how's it going? It's Steve Saylor calling.
Hey, Steve.
Hope you are Socialist. Doing well. No, it's been a long time since I talked to you guys, but. I wanted to say I love the show, love what you guys are doing.
Thank you, sir.
This is awesome. I just love hearing you two talk about writing and stuff. It just sort of gets inspires me to be able to keep my writing going, and I love
always
it.
Always nice.
My question for you guys is, obviously with podcast novels kind of sort of going by the wayside, the only ones I know that are doing it still successfully is you guys and Scott. I wanted to know what you think of your thoughts on using video to help promote books. Mm. I know you guys have done, obviously, your book trailer, which was awesome, by the way, for Phoenix Rising. But I wanted to know what you're thinking of creating, like, a video show, sort of like as a show on YouTube to promote your writing. The only reason why I ask is because I'm in the process of actually starting that up myself, and it's sort of like a scary new thing that I haven't seen anyone do before. And I'm sort of wondering if... what's your guys' thoughts on it? So anyway, thanks for the show, guys. I really love it. I love listening to it every time you guys put out a new episode. So thanks again. As always, I remain obediently yours. Bye. Read.stevesaylor.net. Ding!
I do like obedient Canadians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're so polite when they surrender their country. Steve, thank you very much. This is why we saved his for last, because I love working with video. I do. I love it. It's something that I miss from my previous day job. And it's something I'm looking forward to because I just sat down with Link Williams. And he is my cinematographer and more or less first unit director. Why don't we just say
Yeah, he does.
First unit director for the Janice Affair trailer. We are pushing forward and it's going to be a very different trailer.
Bigger.
We're actually gonna have a cast. We might actually have dialogue. It's gonna be
cast and dialogue.
We're ramping it up. Now that's the good news. The bad news is there's a lot of work that's involved in putting together
just
a trailer.
2-minute trailer. That was a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And think about it. We didn't have a script. You know, we had a
storyboard.
We had a storyboard, which was our script. But now we're actually gonna have a script. So we're working in the audio aspect of it. And as I like to tell people, particularly with video podcasting, is that, you know, when people say, "Oh, I want to do a video podcast," I go, "Okay, have you ever done an audio podcast?" "Oh, yeah, that was a lot of work." Okay, triple that time. Triple that time and you've got video. Because the difference between audio versus video is, well, with audio, we can just sit here and just, you know, just shoot the breeze. We're good. Don't have to worry about how we're looking. Don't have to worry about makeup. Don't have to worry about all this lighting. We're just going with it. But with video, you got to worry about lighting. You got to worry about set. You got to worry about costumes. You got to worry about wardrobe. You got to worry about makeup. You got to worry about sound.
We were exhausted. We did one day shooting in Stanton. We were exhausted.
Yeah. And then we had to go through all the footage, and then we had to edit it. And that, you know, people were saying, ooh, I hope to see more video episodes. I'm like, really?
Can you take an extra few hours on my day?
Yeah, I'll give you another good example of, particularly when you start doing steampunk video, I don't think these guys get enough. They're like Thomas Wilford, if you think about it. They don't get enough
brute
credit.
Brute force leather.
Yeah, brute force leather. Much like Thomas Wilford, who doesn't get enough credit than he deserves.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, not yet. there's a group out west, called League of Steam. Mm-hmm. And great friends of the show. We love them dearly. We hung out with them at Kamikaze Expo. And I got a peek into their lives, and wow. Mm. I mean, just walking with them with their stuff. I mean, I'm just sitting here going, you know, I remember I'm walking a few feet.
That wasn't even their video stuff. That was just their stuff.
It was just their stuff. And we were walking, and it took us, it flashed me back to when I was working at the Renaissance Festival. And I remember the late, great Bill Huddle. He played our King Henry VIII, and he basically said to this guy that was playing the King of France, he said, okay, if you've got to be somewhere in 10 minutes, give yourself 30. And the guy looked at him and was like, are you serious? And he said, just watch. And just like with him, every time we took five steps, it took us, when we walked away to get the equipment out of the car, it took us maybe 10 minutes to get out to the car. To get back, took us an hour because we had to stop.
Take a picture. Yeah.
Stop. Have our picture taken. Stop. And I was standing there going, do you guys want me to do the thumbs up? I'm like, it's okay. Do the thumbs up. I'm like, You know, so there are League of Steam pictures out there.
With you in it.
With Wellington Books making a cameo. But that's just it. It's just not. So take all that and then put production value around it. These guys did a Kickstarter. I mean, they raised something like $60,000.
I mean, even if you were doing just talking to the video camera about your book kind of thing, that's still
look at the setup for .tv with Mark Yoshimoto Nemco.
Yeah,
I mean the what these guys do in video, it's great, and that's part of what I love about it. But there's a lot.
Would
more
we want to do it ourselves?
The idea is when we shoot this next trailer. Is that we're going to shoot a lot of stuff so that we can do maybe little vignettes, maybe do another trailer. But I mean, video episodes.
Once it's done, it's done.
Once it's done, it's done. We got 2 to 4 days to shoot, and when we're done, we are D-U-N done. And it's mainly because of the workload. Because for every one minute of finished video, you're looking at least about 1 to 2 hours worth of just the editing and the timing. And that doesn't include, you know, logging the video, looking at it, and there's a lot behind it. So,
short Steve, answer.
Too late. Basically, Steve, I say go with God. I think it's ambitious, but short answer: keep your production simple. That was what made Phoenix Rising work. Mm. The reason why that trailer worked was because we kept it simple. We didn't have a script. We kept it simple, but when it comes to doing like a regular webisode kind of thing, that's a little different. We're gonna have to wrap it up because I think Pip over here, she's not.
It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I haven't had any breakfast.
Pip Rage.
Bite my sweet ass, right? And so, hungry.
So we better wrap this up.
Pip hungry. Oh.
So thanks everybody. Look, we're gonna do another if we get the voicemail, yeah, and we get the emails and we get the Google Plus comments and Facebook comments. You know where to send them to: 703-791-1701. You can also send it to t@tmorris.com and pip@pjballantine.com. Your website, pjballantine.com, and
Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.com. T has wrecked his bell.
And then t@tmorris.com. Keep your eyes out. Janice Affair stuff is coming. April 10th, Volume 2 of Tales from the Archives.
Mark your calendars now.
Mark your calendars now. First episode will drop then. I'm pretty much done. How about you? You got anything else?
Nah. I'm hungry.
Then now's a good time to say that the shared desk, and yes, I'm using a cheat sheet on this.
Oh, that's not fair.
All right, fine.
Give me that.
No.
Give me that.
I need this.
You got to do it by yourself.
The shared desk is a share alike, no commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 United States license.
Yes!
Bitches. Protected by the Creative Commons. Find out more at creativecommons.org. Until next time, thanks again for all the great feedback. Until our next show in 2 weeks, enjoy the ride.
I'll catch you later. Let's go eat.